Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkrin, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts as we break down UFC 215 or 16?
216, I believe, right?
216, as we ramp up.
Well prepared on today's show.
Yes.
We're going to cover UFC. We're going to cover the UFC like we train the UFC.
Correct. Exactly.
So wait, I'm sorry. Just to be clear, are 216, are we previewing it? Or what's going on?
No, we finished 216.
We finished 216.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go. Welcome.
Just wanted to check. Make sure.
Which saw the interim title go to Tony Ferguson as he beat Kevin Lee in the third round of that fight. Lots of stuff to break down there, not the least of which is a brutal weight cut, staph infection, and a lot of other things to deal with in Kevin Lee's camp. And then on the other side, and I tweeted at you, Ken, and you sort of took umbrage to this, but I said I didn't see anything, and I mean literally anything in that fight that I feel is a threat to Conor McGregor.
I thought Tony Ferguson looked really good. Now, obviously, we heard things after the fight. That was after you actually asked me about that, so I didn't know the situation going in with Kevin Lee, but I think Tony Ferguson showed he can take a shot. I think he showed he can get himself out of bad situations. He did a couple things in that fight that he hasn't had to do in the last couple fights, so you'd have to admit that, right?
Like what?
Well, I just get out of those bad situations. He ate a lot more shots than I felt like he has as he was kind of building up that win streak and those type of things. So I thought he showed a lot of heart in there. I thought he looked more like a champ, quote unquote, than we've seen in the past. Because, I mean, that was really the thing. We weren't sure what was going to happen. Yeah, he looked good in fights, but he was fighting guys like Abel Trujillo. And he was fighting guys like Josh Thompson, who I love. But, I mean, these aren't the top tier guys. I think Kevin Lee's closer to that. I think, you know, the Conor-Tony Ferguson fight is interesting. Am I picking Tony? No, but I don't think you can dismiss it out of hand, which is what it felt like you were saying.
Well, I'm not dismissing,
at that point.
I'm not dismissing it out of hand. What I would say is much like when we talk about DC, and when DC gets tired, leans to his left and or right and is susceptible to head kicks, and thus that's exactly what happened in the John Jones fight. Tony Ferguson, much like the Iceman, if you're a Liddell fan, you remember that Liddell needed to be warmed up. Liddell wasn't coming out there swinging to end the fight. Liddell needed to get hit.
Usually, yeah.
And Ferguson needs to get punched before he can kind of get things going. And my concern with him in a fight with Conor is he won't even remember to fight before Conor has ended said fight.
And again, if you're making this fight tomorrow, yeah, I'm going to pick Conor at this point. But again, we've got all kinds of Conor possibilities, and we're going to get to some more of those.
This ain't one of them.
Because we can't. What's that?
And this ain't one of them?
Depending on how you make the fight, when you make the fight, who Conor's fought, if he's coming back to MMA for the first time, I do think there are some interesting variables here. One of the interesting things also about this lightweight interim championship fight, I really felt like it was an interesting night because we talked about this on the podcast previewing things. I think this could be a fight that Kevin Lee could lose and still look impressive, and I think that's exactly what happened on that night.
Yeah, well, and he obviously had some issues, and one of those issues is he's been highly successful in the first round. And you've talked about this for years, is that once you're first introduced to, and I don't mean fight your first five-round fight, because he's fought two of them prior to this one. He's just never seen them. Mm-hmm. Once you have to go into those deep waters, it's a whole different ballgame. Now, if you have a botched weight cut, it's another whole different ballgame. If you have a botched weight cut and staph infection, that's levels 2 and 3 of insanity in the cardio game, because that first round was all Kevin Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying about Conor. Like you said, if you made the fight today, you don't get a round to do whatever you want against Conor McGregor and then shake it all off and decide to fight in rounds 2 and rounds 3. Right.
Right. No, I understand that. And I mean, and the other thing too, and I don't remember if I posted this or if you posted this. That's how my life's been going lately. I don't know why. But did you post the Chael Sonnen explanation of gas and cardio and all of those things?
You did.
I posted this very, very good explanation of how it can affect a fighter like Kevin Lee going into the main event for the first time, going into a championship fight for the first time. And it doesn't matter if you train every day of the week, 7 hours a day to fight for seven rounds, that once you actually get in the cage, you start to think and you start to get tired and you start to do those things. And if you have to think about things, which Kevin started to have to think about things, it wears you out quicker. You know, one of those things, just the relatability, I started a new gig a couple weeks back. I was exhausted every day because I had to think about what buttons I'm pushing and what I'm doing in here. Even though I'd done it for a long time, I had to think about it. I was like, man, this is freaking tiring. And I'm literally just moving my arms around in this job. That's all I do in this job is I move my arms around and I sit in a chair. So when you get Kevin getting a little tired, getting out of that first round, having to start to think, the energy starts to sap out of you. So if you didn't see that very insightful post that I put up on our Facebook page, make sure you link up with Wow Show on Facebook, Twitter, and more. So I thought that was a really good explanation from a guy who knows what's going on in there. Like, yeah, these guys fight, these guys train, but training is never going to be the same, and that's why this fight was good for Kevin Lee. He's going to now take the experience of going into there, into that house, and going into a title fight and trying to win a title fight. And he was headlining the pay-per-view, regardless of the numbers. He was headlining the pay-per-view. He was the main event, and that is experience you cannot replicate anywhere else. So that's a good thing for Kevin Lee. The other good thing is it looked like Kevin Lee's fight at the beginning there. So he's got the tools to do it. Maybe just the gas tank and maybe getting in there for more fights like this, because he's going to be headlining or sub-headlining probably the next couple cards, you know, barring something insane happening. You know, he fought for that interim title, so he's going to be right below, and you never know. I mean, I know the rumors right now are December 30th for UFC 219 for McGregor and Ferguson. Those are some of the rumors. I mean, I know you've got some other situations you think are going to happen first, but I would not be surprised at all if you see a card like UFC 219 December 30th if you were to see Kevin Lee Nurmagomedov put on that card, because they like to have backups now too.
And is the one who makes weight win that contest?
Okay. Wow. Well, I don't know. Nurmagomedov right now is trying to, I don't know, he's trying to block the fact that UFC can make that fight. I don't know if he's just running around with his wig on and he's yelling about it, or if he's actually got some legal representation. But I mean, the dude's been off for a long time, so I mean, he's got to come back in and do something. So,
well, and remember,
that would be a great card.
Remember the last time he was supposed to fight was for the interim championship against Tony Ferguson, and he couldn't make it to the fight. So that's one of the reasons, guys, that if you are going, what's next for Conor McGregor, Nurmagomedov is not what's next, because no one, including the organization at large, can trust this guy to make weight.
And no, and they cannot afford. I mean, we are now getting to the point where, you know, you're cutting to the bone on these pay-per-views. You're running
numbers,
pay-per-views.
Before we even talk about amazing Demetrius Johnson, the numbers illustrate that.
I mean, you are cutting to the bone. You cannot afford to have a marquee pay-per-view, which would be a Conor McGregor pay-per-view, fall apart. And they are just getting too close here in margins from what I imagine. I mean, let's remember, this company was bought for $4 billion just over a year ago, right?
Yep. And just for some context, if you haven't seen the numbers yet, the pay-per-view did just around 100,000 pay-per-view buys, which
right.
is why I don't believe for a second Conor McGregor is fighting Tony Ferguson, because he's not a draw.
Yeah, but I think Conor's the draw. I mean, who else you put in there with Conor other than, I know we're going to talk a little bit about GSP in a minute.
You're going to put him in with people that will make him money, and Ferguson isn't going to make him money.
Yeah, but Conor's going to make himself money. I don't think he needs, quote-unquote, the opponent to carry it at this point. Of course, if you see McGregor Diaz, yes, that's going to do huge numbers. Maybe McGregor GSP. I'm still not 100% convinced
that
GSP
clearly
has crossed over
that,
to this new fan base.
And that clearly won't be December 30th.
No.
Right, like that would
But that's what I'm saying. You have Conor McGregor essentially shore up the championship, and then you can move on to those other fights. You don't think they can even risk that?
No. I have no. There's no risk.
There's
no risk, I would say, in like
zero
in Conor and Tony making it to the fight. That's not what I'm saying.
No, but I mean, is the risk there, though? You need to get a couple main events out of Conor, and Conor's been boxing and he hasn't. I mean, I'd have to go look it up. Conor has not been in the cage in a while at this point.
Sure.
Is there a risk there? Tony Ferguson's, he's been a fighter's fighter. Dude's been fighting a lot. I mean, this was one of his longest layoffs, which was the 10 months, and it's because of the Nurmagomedov fight falling apart.
Yep.
And Tony basically saying, look, I'll fight again, but I'm fighting for some type of title, interim or real. And that's why he waited until he got this interim bout. But I mean, up until that point, the dude was fighting, you know, at a minimum, I think every 6 months or so. And he's been a guy who hasn't really been away from the cage. Looked okay. I mean, you might have seen some ring rust. Think about it, on Tony Ferguson for as long as he was out. So he might have sharpened up some
maybe,
of that.
Maybe, but I mean, if you look at all of his fights, he takes a ton of damage.
Right.
A ton of damage. And that's just not... You can be a fighter's fighter all day long, but eventually you turn into Robbie Lawler.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually you turn into Donald Cerrone. Eventually you turn, you know, like that stuff turns on you. You say this all the time. You will wake up one day and your chin will no longer be there.
Right. And it's you're off a cliff when you're a fighter. You fall off a cliff.
Yes.
It's not subtle.
And he's not 25 like Kevin Lee. He's 33. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that cliff is coming. It's just a matter of when. So to me, you have the lowest gate in a decade. And 100,000 pay-per-view buys. If you're Conor McGregor and you're in the business portion of your career, which you are, I just don't. You clearly don't care about the titles. And I know if you're a fan, that's frustrating, and I can empathize with that. But that's not what he's doing. He wants to do things that people think he can't do. So it's much more likely, in my opinion, much more likely he's going to talk himself back into the Diaz fight, if that's a thing. Talk himself into this GSP thing in March, if that's a thing. I would actually even believe Woodley McGregor before Ferguson.
Really? That's interesting. And, you know, I do say one thing to your point. One thing that's going to be the big... question mark is payday. You're going to a guy who just made upwards of $100 million
yep.
a month and a half ago, and you have to, you don't, you're not going to be able to pay him $100 and something million. He knows that too.
Yeah,
but you do have to have a pay-per-view that's going to be commiserate with what could be a 10 to 15 to some are even saying $20 million payday. In that regard, the guy across the cage makes a lot of difference, because that's upper echelon UFC. That is highest pay-per-views, Brock Lesnar, Conor McGregor, some of the John Jones fights in history type of pay-per-views. That's where that becomes the Nate Diaz, the GSP possibly, the Woodley fight possibly being the ones that can make enough money so they can pay Conor enough to be on pay-per-view. Because I think Conor Ferguson, champion versus champion, does well. Does that fight support a $15 to $20 million payday at the top of the card?
No.
I don't know at this point.
No, it doesn't. Which is why, I mean, yes, logically this fight makes sense on paper, but that's not, Conor isn't doing logic. To your point, Conor is doing dollars and cents. Conor is the UFC's version of the $1 million man,
mm-hmm.
right? He doesn't need a title to get eyeballs. He gets more shine on him when win or lose, seemingly, right? Like, there's so much fervor around him right now about what he's going to do, and he's coming off of a loss to Floyd Mayweather.
Yes.
Right? And he's coming back some sort of conquering hero, and that's who you're dealing with. And so if you need $10, $15, $20 million to get him back interested, you need somebody who's going to be a draw. And that's not to say that you are not a good fighter. Those are two different skill sets. Kevin Lee and Tony Ferguson, as we said last week, was the most interesting fight of 2017 on paper, and that first round certainly showed that.
Right.
But people don't care yet, because neither one of these guys is a household name. They're a household name to us because we grew up with them, but that doesn't mean on a national scale they're a household
name.
Well,
and we have to also be cognizant of the fact we're super users of the product at mm-hmm. this point. I mean, even though I'm, you know, I'm a casual fan when it comes to figuring out what's happening inside the cage and breaking these things down, I get that I'm still a super user of the product at this point. You know, MMA Weekly puts up a Khabib Nurmagomedov story. I click on it. Most casual MMA fans are not. Like you said, they've forgotten at this point what the guy's done. Here's the interesting dynamic, too, when you talk about Conor McGregor. And we talk about ring rust, and we talk about how John Jones looked in OSP. And we talk about the fact that he's concentrated on boxing for as long as he has. Even if he's in there in December, which would be the Ferguson fight, which everybody's talking about. New Year's Eve, you get Conor McGregor back. Maybe a New Year's Eve card. It's December 30th this year. It's not actually New Year's Eve. So, I mean, I could see that fight working and maybe supporting the payday on that kind of card. But the interesting dynamic is you've already laid out three or four other better paydays. And you would have Conor McGregor coming back for a December 30th fight, if he does, not having fought an MMA fight in over a year. And again, The guy's been amazing. The guy's gone out there and done everything he said he's going to do. He's come back from a loss against Nate Diaz when people said he should just keep moving on. And hey, cool, man, you jumped up in weight. You showed up. You saved the card. You should move along. What did he do? He didn't want to take another fight until he goes back and beats that guy. He's done all these things. I guess the one thing, if UFC's trying to set this up, they can say is you can't come back after a year and beat the champion. You've been off over a year. I mean, maybe they got to goad him into the cage a little bit. Only problem is that could be true. As skilled as Conor is, as much of an anomaly as he has been as a fighter, it's still over a year off. We saw Jon Jones. We saw freaking Daniel Cormier licking his lips and frustrated he didn't get that first shot at Jon Jones coming out of that layoff, because Jon Jones looked terrible against OSP.
Sure.
This would be a guy who not only hasn't been in the cage, but had a different style of fighting. Who knows what that has actually done to his actual MMA style? Probably not a lot, but you never know. I mean, golfers don't mess with their swings a lot. What I mean, there's a big theory in the golfing world. I'm not a huge fan, but you hear enough of it, that Tiger Woods, once he tried to start tweaking his swing because of his back issues and his knee issues, that's why the man stopped winning. So you either gut through that or you try to change, but the change can be bad. Well, the guy went in there and he trained boxing.
Yep.
Basically for, I mean, we know that the camp was short, but I mean, he's wanted that fight for a long time. There's a lot of variables, I think, that would play into a Tony Ferguson fight, especially if that fight happened relatively soon within the next couple months.
And not the least of which, and you saw this on Saturday night, is Tony's bread and butter is something that Conor is just straight awful at.
Mm-hmm.
Jiu-jitsu,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, that Chad Mendes fight, I still maintain, as impressive as Conor was, if Chad's jiu-jitsu was even close to any of these other fighters, that fight might still have been over.
Well, and one of the things that Kevin said that I thought was super interesting was he didn't feel he was in trouble when he was on the ground until those elbows started to come. And
mm-hmm.
they really underestimated how much power Tony can get from a position that most people don't get power from.
Mm-hmm.
So he just wore Kevin down with those elbows to the back, that the triangle was there all day.
Yes.
And that would be the same problem for Conor if it goes to the mat. Now, you need to get into championship rounds for that to even be a variable, because it's not like Ferguson comes out with flying triangles and things like that.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot that has to... There has to be more that happens to get there than happened in the Mendes fight.
Yes.
Just Mendes didn't have the other side of that, right, with the elbows and the jits.
If it goes to the ground, though, Ferguson... In my opinion, jiu-jitsu-wise, Ferguson is better than Nate Diaz.
Really?
Yes.
See, that could be an interesting fight to make, too.
I would... If you want to fight Conor McGregor, that's a pay-per-view people will buy.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Diaz and Ferguson... And Conor and GSP, or Conor Bisping.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's your $20 million, and now winner versus winner, right? If Conor comes out a winner and Ferguson comes out a winner, now you have a storyline.
And they were on the same card, so something's probably going to happen.
Hmm. Yeah.
So you don't think this Twitter beef means that's what's going on with the next fight? You just think that's more?
I just think
just more noise.
Just what Conor does is just make more noise. I think either that, or maybe to what you were saying a second ago, maybe he's testing the water to see how much interaction these things get, and if anyone's even paying attention to this kid,
mm-hmm.
in Conor's mind.
Right, exactly.
And if people don't respond to this Twitter beef, he already has his answer. He needs to go someplace else. And if you contrast that with all of the things that Dana and company have learned from the Aldo-Conor press conference that they're now parlaying into the GSP Bisping,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they are turning that into a huge event with the press that they're doing. Like, I've been really impressed with what they've been doing and where they've been putting these guys to kind of get people interested again in GSP and absolutely put this beef on fire,
mm-hmm.
leading up to November 4th.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how that works. One thing I didn't notice this week, and I don't know if this plays into the Conor McGregor fight, Duke Rufus tweeted out that he's working with CM Punk for his next fight.
Which is in the UFC. How is that even possible? How is that even possible?
Okay, but if we're in the money, you know what? I made it as a joke, but now I do that thing I do, and just while you're talking, I'm like, wait a minute. So, I listen, though. So,
I know you listen. I know.
If you're actually in the money business, is that a fight that can do money? No chance in the world for CM Punk. Or did he blow the wad, essentially, with the Mickey Gall fight?
I don't think anyone cares about him at all.
But you're talking about the money business, and wrestling fans love CM Punk. And you could get maybe a lot of eyeballs there. I almost think, again, you could not have, by any stretch of the imagination, justified it. But I feel like CM Punk, if they were going to do a one and done and that was going to happen, should have gotten a bigger fight. And I know that if you're a fan of MMA and you're very sports-minded when it comes to the sport and rankings, that's going to drive you insane. But, I mean, if we're talking money business, like you were talking earlier, they wasted the CM Punk fight.
Yes. Well, they absolutely wasted the CM Punk fight because no one... I mean, he looked so bad, like James Toney bad, that no one is sitting around going, sure can't wait for him to get back in the cage.
Right, exactly.
That'll be awesome.
I want to see that 40-year-old guy in there and see what happens.
So, No, that's not a
thing. Okay. Eric's twitching over there. So we've got 216. We also have the fact that Demetrius Johnson pulled out one of the most insane moves I've seen finish a fight ever.
Literally the best submission in UFC history.
You're calling it?
100. A suplex to flying armbar? Yep, find me a better one.
I'm just asking you to verify.
Find me a better one.
I don't know. I'm just saying. What about that Randy Couture James Toney submission? Weird side headlock he tapped to.
Very, very close. But
speaking of James Toney today,
I would just say, look, I get it. I get it on both sides. I get why Demetrius is frustrated that the UFC doesn't give him paydays. I also get why fans aren't really willing to pay for him. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. You're wrong, but I get it. Because there isn't anybody in the organization who is as good a fighter as Demetrius Johnson. There isn't one.
People just don't care because of the weight, though. They don't feel like that's...
I get it. You're watching a guy who's playing a different game. You're watching a guy...
He's done the defense thing. He's gotten the record. Does he need to jump up if he wants money? I mean, even...
Does he need to jump up if he wants money? Yes. But
here's the problem. I don't even think that weight class... would necessarily be one that's going to give him the respect he needs.
Find out on November 4th, right?
Right. Because you've got Garbrandt and
Dillashaw.
Dillashaw fighting. Maybe. I mean, the good thing is they're going to get a nice spotlight with the GSP Bisping fight being on the
eyeballs. I'm just more saying, like, if you see coming out of that fight, if you see a lot of people talking about what's next for whoever the winner is, my guess is Garbrandt at this point. But if Cody's got a lot of momentum on his side, that might make an interesting fight. Now, side note on this, I want to be very clear. He doesn't need to do that if he doesn't want to.
Right.
But if your question is, how does he make more money? That's how you make more money.
And get attention.
Yes.
You want attention, you do that.
You make more money. If you want to run around and claim that you want Conor McGregor money, as every single one of these guys does, that's what I would be doing. Hey, I'm going to go up 20 pounds and meet you at 45, Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to fight the best in the organization? Because I'm hands down the best in the organization.
See,
there isn't a better fighter in the entire planet.
That's interesting. You make, because you do that. When was Connor at 145 last? It's been a while.
2.5 years, right?
So, I mean, you make him cut. They fought at 156 when he fought Floyd, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean... that could be interesting, because once you've let a guy be bigger for a while, and the cut is tougher. So
His coaches have said they didn't want him to go back down to 45, which is why he didn't go back and fight Max Holloway and all of that stuff, because it was a tough cut.
He wanted to keep his belt.
But he wanted to keep his belt because he hadn't technically lost it. But I'm saying, again, here's another option, albeit a crazy one, that makes more money for both of those guys than the Ferguson fight does.
DJ
come up? I have no idea.
Because, I mean, he had so many problems at 135, too.
Yeah, because he's just not big enough.
He's just not big enough, and it just wasn't working.
But here's the thing. This is why I'm selling myself on this idea.
You're fantasy booking?
I'm fantasy booking myself because Connor's not a wrestler. So he doesn't need to out-wrestle Conor McGregor. He needs to fight Conor McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And I will say this. If you were going to do this fight... Wow, we've gotten... this episode's got off the rails in like 20 minutes.
I'm all in on this.
I would say this would be one of the few guys in the entire UFC that you could say is demonstrably quicker than Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And that's always Conor McGregor's strong suit, that quick left, that out of nowhere action, that the weird angles. You always hear about weird angles. I mean, the fact that he did that for the first couple rounds in the Mayweather fight. I think demonstrably, if you look at the two fighters, you know, I would even say, and I'm not a big DJ fan, I believe he's probably one of the best ever in the UFC, and I believe everything you say doesn't necessarily make me a fan.
You'd pay for it, though. I could see
I would pay for that, yeah, because he's demonstrably quicker. I don't think I've seen anybody quicker.
Well, there isn't anybody. That's what I'm saying. If DJ's playing a totally different game, I think he just needs to... The thing would be, if he steps up and fights Garbrandt and Dillashaw, yeah, he'll make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Will more people care? I don't know. I mean, you and I could argue this all day long. I don't disagree with you that no one cares about 135 either. We don't even know if people care about 45 anymore. And we're going to find out in Detroit when you get Max Holloway defending his belt. You're going to find out with the rematch between Ricardo Lamas and Aldo, who's back finally. But I don't think they care there. Why they would care, though, is if their best fighter ever meets the biggest fighter ever at 145.
Publicity-wise, should say, and talk, and I liked it. Let's make that fight. The what's crazy about these scenarios, which would have been nuts even just a year ago, is if you keep looking at follow the money, UFC's got to do something. They're having the worst year ever. Man, the Fertittas. I would follow them.
Yep.
Off a cliff.
Whatever they tell you to invest in, do that. And they're not telling you to invest in the UFC.
They cashed out at $4 billion. $4 billion they cashed out.
And essentially cashed out Ken like the .com bubble burst.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like there wasn't any actual money there.
Right.
Give us $4 billion. For what? Not sure. See you later. Bye-bye. Taking John Jones. We're taking Ronda Rousey.
Stop. Yeah, I get it. Everybody's fighting Connor.
Yes. No. They're taking him with, like, we sold you the organization.
Oh, gotcha.
We took all the quality fighters with us. Good luck.
No,
making
my God.
Money off Nurmagomedov and Ateer Massou.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I mean, the Fertittas, this is weird. This is bad. I don't know what you would do in this situation.
Well, I think it's almost as if, Ken, you've got to step back to early 2000 UFC, and I know this wasn't on the docket, but I think we're going to naturally get here. They're clearly in a TV negotiation. So to me,
that's on the docket because I think that's going to affect.
So you do one of two things. You either go back to early 2000 bookings where we're doing 7 events a year,
mm-hmm.
and they're huge, right? And now I'm giving you $75.
No, I think I think that lays right out with, I don't know about 75. I think that lays right out with, though, the TV deal coming up and the fact that we just came off one of the worst pay-per-views buy rate
in a row
in history. Oh, yeah, the last two, right?
15 and 16 combined didn't break 200,000.
So that's a problem. So, I mean, I really think this will be an interesting dynamic because, I mean, for the UFC, timing couldn't be worse because the value of the company is perceived as low, the buy rates are down, and sports properties are not getting the dollars they used to.
No, I mean, the NFL is down, right?
Right. So rights fees, which used to be the big fat cow, because ESPN, again, I've recommended the book 1,000 times. Those guys have all the fun. ESPN, for so many years, had so many business advantages that they were basically driving the rates up on all live sports. And they're losing because of streaming, because of cord cutting and all of those things.
So a little bit of context in between those two points, guys, is one of the reasons that you never got that a la carte cable that you asked for 10 years ago is exactly because of ESPN and them driving the rates up to make it fiscally impossible for that to work in a cable bundled package. And so here we are, fast forward, everyone just figures another way around it, streaming, you know, whatever, whichever way you're getting your stuff, and it breaks the whole system from a completely different direction, which leads us to the UFC going, okay, we need another TV deal. The thing with Fox fell through. We're now in an open negotiation. What does that look like? To me, Ken, this looks like more free product paid for by commercials or sponsorships or and less reliant on Ken and Jimmy and Steve ponying up $60 every 3 weeks for a thing that's terrible.
Well, and the interesting dynamic too, and you and I discussed this off the air once, is the interesting dynamic on some of these lesser events that you and I still want to watch is it becomes less of an event, though, for you and I. Like, you're not going to host a couple of people at your house. I'm not going to host a couple of people at my house for Kevin Lee, Tony Ferguson, even though we want to watch it. So then all of a sudden that ask becomes exponentially bigger. And I know this is very anecdotal, but instead of me splitting with, you know, I think, I don't remember what it was. Oh, we did the Mayweather fight at my house.
And there's four.
And that was $100. Yeah. And there was four of us, so it was $25 each. So I spent $25 essentially to watch Mayweather McGregor, and then because of the lesser value and the lesser appeal of a Kevin Lee Tony Ferguson fight, all of a sudden my ask, that's a term we use a lot about audience and listeners in my field and subscribers in your field and all of those things, the ask is now $69.99 versus my $25 because of what I was able to do before. So it becomes very interesting because you and I both wanted to see that. We just couldn't kind of work out how to see that. And just for context, Eric and I somehow both live on the exact opposite sides of the actual city we live in.
It's funny. I had a guy hit me up on Facebook the other day because he couldn't quite figure out where you lived. He's like, does Ken live in the state? I'm like, well, technically he lives in the state.
Stop it. But yeah, you live as far north as you can to still be in this area. And I live as far south as I can. So, I mean, it's probably a good 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Either way, which isn't the end of the world, and I know if you're in a big metropolitan area.
But again, it's the ask, right? Where we've talked about this combined issue that the UFC has in the Eastern time zone. So not only are you asking for $70, $69.99, but now you're asking me to stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning because your pacing sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me,
and you've already got our money. That's what I don't. I don't want to get down that
and
again.
For me, it's now 3 o'clock because I got to drive 40 minutes the other way,
or right? Vice versa,
or vice versa. Right? Both of us. It's 3 in the morning and $70. When really the whole event, you already have our money. The whole event could be 2 hours tops.
Right.
If I don't have to listen to three guys blather on about why I should buy Destiny 2 or why I should.
Yeah, there's already commercials there. Just run commercials. So yeah. here's the other end of the spectrum that we hope this moves towards with the TV rights and those type of things. The other thing that would happen is like, okay, Kevin Lee, Tony Ferguson, big interim fight. We're trying to find out who should be the guy that might get to fight Conor one day. All right, we are going to see you guys on ESPN, 8 o'clock on Saturday night. And you can watch it on ESPN. However the hell you get ESPN, you watch it on ESPN. It's going to be on 8 until 11 at the most because ESPN is going to keep that moving. They clip along. They're sports. They want to lead into SportsCenter.
Yeah.
They don't want the thing to go all damn night. They want to lead their fight fans into SportsCenter. That's why they paid for this, because they want to run these commercials and lead into their shows. And then that turns into something else for another show that's being promoted. So it's going to be a tight 8 to 11 window, almost assuredly, maybe a bit of overtime, which ESPN knows how to handle because they do it all day, every day.
Yep.
And boom, there's your Saturday night. So all of a sudden, instead of this weird like 10 o'clock pay-per-view, we really want to just see the main event, it becomes a very consumable 8 to 11 product, which ESPN, they don't care about the West Coast. I mean, they care about it, but yeah. they don't move things around. They don't freak out because they're showing something at 8 o'clock at night, which the UFC's always done. And I get it because they're Vegas-based, so they're probably a little more biased. Again, I feel like this next TV deal is going to have to figure out a way to make this product more consumable, or we're just going to keep seeing bad pay-per-view after bad pay-per-view buy. And I'm not saying bad pay-per-views. I'm saying bad pay-per-view buy rates.
Well, and the fascinating part about this is the UFC proper is already doing this.
Mm-hmm.
One of their most interesting things on right now is on Fight Pass on Tuesday nights. The Contender Series is probably the best thing they've done since the original Tough Series, right? This idea that all these people come in, to your ESPN example, they fight all in one night, and one dudette, who puts on a stunning performance,
dudette,
gets a UFC contract. It's exactly what people want the pay-per-views to be. We're mm-hmm. in and out, the thing's wrapped up, and we're done. What, you know, Nada says this 1,000 times a year. People love fighting. It's primal. It's part of their yes, so get to the fighting part.
Yes.
Right? Like, if you haven't by fight night, right? By fight night, if you haven't told me or figured out how to tell me who Tony Ferguson is or Kevin Lee is, and you've got to run a 20-minute package to set up the fight, you've actually failed as an organization.
Well, here's the other problem. You've already got the money. You've got the money at that point. What are you doing? And it's funny. I talked to somebody in my field, and they use pornography as an example. And nobody tunes into
listening.
Pornography to watch them have a conversation at the door. They say get to the
yeah,
fighting, UFC. Yeah. Let's use the other F word. Let's get to the fighting and get it going. And it does not feel like that, even after I've given you $69.99.
And here we are in 2017, and you can set your watch that the pay-per-view will start at 10 o'clock. You won't see people punching till 10:22.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
22 minutes of what, guys?
It's ridiculous.
Because I promise you, in 80% of the instances in 2018, the average fan has no idea who's about to fight.
So get them going.
On that first fight, no idea.
Get them going. You don't need to set it up. Let's figure it out at the end. It's weird. It's going to be an issue, and I did want to talk about the TV deal today because I think making this product more consumable is going to be a key as you move forward. And that, and I mean, you know a lot more about this than I do. That's a strategy all media has to use. You have to be where your audience is. You have to be in a consumable fashion in a way that people can quickly gravitate toward what you're doing and understand it. And it feels like the UFC, we've seen a lot of this weird stuff with FS1 and FXX, and it felt like the first year of this thing, they kind of had things figured out, and maybe it was just a luxury of having bigger fights to be on bigger pay-per-views with guys like Anderson Silva and John Jones and some of the heavyweight fights. But it seemed like, because I remember Fox Sports seemed to find their little niche with Benson Hendersonville. That seemed, didn't
yes,
it?
Yeah.
But and I watched those, and I wasn't a huge Benson Henderson fan for the most part. I wasn't a huge fan of that weight class. But you know what? It was on Fox, and it was on a Saturday night, and I knew it was going to be 8 to 10 and maybe a little bit of overtime. And yeah, you know what? I remember specifically I was up hunting one weekend, and we went to the bar. I'm like, hey, let's go watch UFC. It's on Fox tonight, so we're going to grab dinner anyways. Let's go watch it. Like That was an appointment for me to watch what at that point was a division I really didn't care a ton about, but it was consistent and it was consumable and I knew it was going to be on that TV.
Yep.
And I knew when I went to the bar too, I said, hey, can you just turn on Fox? Like, I didn't have to fight with a bartender to order the Tony Ferguson, Kevin Lee fight.
Or explain to them what an FFXXX.
Exactly. It was on Fox. Like, what was that? You just got to turn it on whatever your channel is. In your town, whatever channel Fox is. If it's Fox 2, if it's Fox 17, if it's Fox 10.
8, whatever it is.
Exactly.
Right?
You turn the channel on in the bar, and that bar all of a sudden, Dana's right. Fighting's primal. There was college football on some screens, and a lot of people were kind of gravitating over to the screen that we had flipped over.
And,
but that was Fox. That was getting to the fighting.
And and you see that now in bars all over America, where when FX or FXX or whatever is running the replays, I don't actually know what all the UFC shows are called.
Yeah, their knockout, their concussion,
all those things. Right? They'll pull those up because all it is the fighting.
Yep.
It's either the last round when the knockout happens. It's cutting out all of the garbage and just putting the fight on, or whatever. This is what they need when they're rolling forward if they want to get people to be more interested in the product. We both came from a universe at one point that liked to lean into the phrase less is more in a very terrible way, right? But in this case, that's exactly what this organization needs to do. If you would like more people to be bigger fans of this product, you need to give them a better product, not more of a product. Right, a big box of terrible cereal is not better than a small box of your favorite cereal.
And again, that's not taking anything away from these other fighters or what they're doing or moving up in the ranks.
But you have, like, there's a million solutions to this, and then we'll shout out to Cerrone, who's fighting this weekend, and wrap this whole thing up. And that is, like, you have a platform called Fight Pass that there's no reason to own because there's nothing there outside of this Contender Series. I don't really watch anything else because you don't put anything on it.
I haven't had it in 2 years.
And if you took all of these fighters and put them on some Fight Pass series, turned it into a pseudo tournament or something, so there's a reason for me to watch this product.
Right.
Then you've already got an outlet. You've already got a place to put half of this stuff that people don't get or understand. And then out of what they're awesome at, we've talked about this, is marketing before and marketing after. If you put something on Fight Pass with, you know, let's say most people don't know who, you know, they don't know who Lando is and Bobby Green, even though that was the best fight on the card on Saturday night, right? Mm-hmm. And those guys fought to a draw, which was the perfect draw, and they're now going to rematch later in December. It's the ideal scenario for the fight fan. If this is on the prelims, which was on FX, if you missed it, mm-hmm. they're running it all over Facebook so you catch up and understand why these guys are going to rematch on
right.
a main card.
And they make it consumable on Facebook or
Correct.
Other platforms.
So this, if Lando and Green happens on Fight Pass, you do the same thing. And then Ken calls Eric and goes, dude, did you catch the blah, blah, blah on Wednesday night? No, I didn't, man. Oh, on Facebook right now, they're running the Lando-Bobby Green fight. You've got to watch it. And then I watch it and go, oh, they do this every Wednesday night? I'll totally check that out.
So, and here's one thing I will give the UFC a little bit of a break on, is because even a couple years ago when this Fox deal first went through, a lot of big companies are still trying to clean up streaming rights versus television rights. And let's remember, the UFC was in a position at that point, they wanted to get a deal done. They had fallen through with CBS. They had had some back and forth with Showtime. You know, they looked at this next major network deal as their next deal. I'm sure there was some give and take in there that they're not necessarily glad they gave, which is landing on FX or FXX or FS1. So hopefully, you know, they can kind of clean up some of those streaming issues there and be able to stream certain things, and they're not blocked out if I spend money for Fight Pass. I mean, look, we've compared this over and over and over again, and we'll do it again because it's the closest thing that we can talk about that is very similar to Fight Pass, which is WWE Network. Even WWE Network, who's put all their pay-per-views now on their app, they still have issues with their TV deals. Just because the way digital works and live events work, USA is saying, no, you can't just put Raw on. You can't just put SmackDown on your app the next day. That's not cool. Oh, by the way, Hulu's involved, who's involved with Universal. They got the deal for the next day. And as big a company as it is, and the fact that, I mean, we've had a WWE Network 4 or 5 years now?
If not 6.
You still can't get Raw. So, I mean, a lot of these things have to be cleaned up. And they're also, they're bargaining chips, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not forget that. I mean, USA has got these bargaining chips, and so does the WWE when you talk about their two flagship shows. And it may not be worth WWE to go, okay, we want those on our network yet. Still not quite there. We've got enough product. UFC does not have enough product. So I think what we're going to have to figure out at some point is what can be on our network, what's going to be on your channel A. Like, I get it. If there's college football on Fox, it bounces down. But it bounces to FS1. We don't slide to FXX. We don't slide to this random other spot.
No, they need to, like, and I've said this before, if they want this to be successful and they want this to grow, you know, you need to put this in a basic cable package so people don't need to go to DirecTV and pay $200 to get that.
Better yet, you need to be on ABC and grab Saturday nights that aren't in the college football season.
If you can, but if you can't, you need to stay in a place where
the ESPN deal.
Yeah.
Because it's Disney.
Yep.
So I think that's where they need to be. I think, though, they're going to take a financial hit to try to be there. I think that's what's going to be the conundrum.
They're used to that this year.
Right, but but you and I have worked in media a long time. That's not how the bosses look at it. You don't keep taking cuts over and over and over again, and that's a hard meeting to have. It doesn't matter if you're Dana White or anybody else. You can't walk into a room with a bunch of guys and go, "Yeah, but we want to take less money because we're going to get this, this, and this." And they're going to go, "Your last two pay-per-views did 200,000 combined. You are not turning down dollars. We just paid $4 billion for this company." That's a damn near impossible meeting to have.
I'm with you.
Okay.
I mean, I also worry about
I didn't mean to that's how Dana's gonna feel the way I didn't say it.
You know, I understand all those things, but what they're doing right now isn't working. And I understand the timing was terrible. Great for the Fertittas.
Timing is amazing.
Fertitta timing is great for them. It's terrible for everybody else, right? But they have to do something at this point, because as we're looking at the course of the year, as I just said, you've got Cerrone fighting this weekend. Is anyone paying attention to this fight?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't know until you mentioned it.
Right. So you've got that happening with, once again, if you can't get anyone to pay attention to your pay-per-view, you know, Cerrone and Darren Till, that's going to happen at 3:00 in the afternoon.
Is this on Fight Pass?
This is on, are we on Fight Pass?
That's a problem, Eric.
Yes, on Fight Pass.
We're super users, and we don't know what's going on.
So it's in Poland, 3:00 on Fight Pass, up against college football, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just not getting eyeballs. And I know...
I think they even know it because even the main event is technically only four fights. I know it doesn't. That's always been a weird thing to me, though, and I don't know if it has something to do with pay rates or something, but because when it's on Fight Pass, it just is on.
Well, and what I wish they would just do four in the main event because, again, it would make it more consumable and make it easier to understand.
Well, yeah, put four fights on FS1 and have the rest on Fight Pass, and then I know what's going on.
Yep, but that's what I was just going to say. Like, I hope in the next TV deal that... Because one of the things that I hate about Fight Pass is, in some cases, if you miss the event at 3 o'clock, you can't just kind of pick up and watch, right?
Like, no, and sometimes they replay, but sometimes they don't.
Right. So, so what I liked what they used to do when they started this expansion into the global markets is they would do the event at 3 o'clock, and then at 8 or 10,
wherever we're used to it,
show up on Fox or FS1 or USA or Spike or whatever, and if you were into it enough... You could stay away from spoilers. Mm-hmm. If you saw the spoilers but still wanted to see Donald Cerrone, you could watch the fight.
Right, exactly.
But okay. Right now, like, I don't under. This is the part of the app I don't understand is you already own the product. The thing already happened. What are you protecting broadcast rights from yourself?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
And I don't either. And that could be worldwide broadcast or something else along those lines. I honestly don't know at this point.
It's dumb as hell.
There you go.
All right. As always, you can play along on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. We will keep you up to date on the Bellator event this weekend and the UFC this weekend. That happens at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I know lots of you will be strapped to your seats to enjoy that on Saturday afternoon.
And don't forget, Eric has now put everybody in the cage with Conor McGregor.
Yep. All the people. I'm going all in. I'm going all in on this DJ Conor thing. I'm running that for office.
There you go.
All right. Catch us online. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.